Tony Broome Ministries presents the following message entitled Mystery Made Manifest.
You've heard it said, God works in mysterious ways. There's even a poem written about it, part of which says, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Well, like most man-made ideas and opinions, Scripture says quite the opposite. The last part of Acts chapter 26, verse 26 says, For this thing was not done in a corner. God had every right to keep himself secret. He could have just stayed in heaven forever, not worried about making man, not worried about worrying with us. And certainly after he made us, he didn't have to reveal himself to us. But he did. Paul said, This thing was not done in a corner. God wanted to reveal himself. The very fact that we are created in the image of God, after his likeness, proves that he longs to have someone with whom to fellowship with and make himself known. He even goes so far as to send himself in the person of Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die in our stead and take our place and buy us back from Satan, sin, and slavery. Thank God for that. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This in itself was a mystery, but it's now revealed to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We know when Jesus came, he came in the flesh. He was manifest in the flesh. They called his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He was justified in the Spirit, the only one who ever lived a sinless and perfect life. Manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Right there in one verse, it gives you the nutshell focus of the life of Jesus Christ, even really before his life as we know it in this world. He was manifest in the flesh. In order to be manifest in the flesh, he had to already be living in the Spirit. Manifest in the flesh, and he came to us justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, they loved him, they adored him, they worshiped him, they ministered to him. Preached unto the Gentiles. Praise be to the Almighty God that he came and was preached to the Gentiles. And now we have a chance to get in on the things of eternal life. We have a chance to get in on the goodness of God. He was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Everybody didn't believe on him, but so many people have. And thank God, in the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of all the doubt and uncertainty in the world, we have something that was a mystery, and it's not a mystery anymore, because he came to us. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. He made himself known. There are all kind of mysteries in the Bible. So even after he was believed on in the world, he was received up into glory. And that's where he is. Some people say it's a mystery, but God tells us all about it. He doesn't tell us everything, but he certainly tells us everything we need to know to be saved, to be sanctified, to be spirit-filled, right with God, to be already from earth to glory. God tells us all we need to know, and he tells us even more than we need to know. He gives us some extra to get you by. There are several mysteries in God's Word which are revealed under the New Covenant. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, Paul says, Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, this is a mystery, but I'm showing it to you. I'm going to reveal the mystery, and it won't be a mystery anymore. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You better stay with the trump, brothers and sisters. You're not going to go wrong if you stay with the trump. Better listen for the sound of the trumpet. Jesus could come at any moment. The trumpet shall sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is the mystery of the rapture. which is now revealed and is therefore not a mystery anymore, at least for those of us who are redeemed. Praise God, we're looking forward to the rapture. The mystery that we are dealing with in this message, which we are calling Mystery Made Manifest, is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Mystery Made Manifest. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossian church, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Now, nobody can suffer like Jesus suffered. Nobody can suffer in his place. But Paul is saying, I am identifying with the sufferings of Christ. He suffered all the way, and I get to suffer a little bit. Well, he suffered a lot, but you know, in comparison with Christ, he said, I get to suffer for the cause of Christ. I am rejoicing in my sufferings for you, that I may fill up that which is left behind of the sufferings of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. In order for mystery to be made manifest, there has to be a minimizing of self. It's like John the Baptist, who said, he must increase, but I must decrease. The Apostle Paul, before he was apostle, before he was saved, he had it all going for him. He persecuted the church. He knew several languages, no doubt. He was smart. He was the big boy in his Judaism religion. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he worshiped God in that way, but he was lost, and he needed a Savior. And when he got saved, in Philippians chapter 3, it says, I count all things but loss. I even count it like dung for the excellency of Christ. And I've lost it all to find everything. And he says, I now am minimizing myself. I want it to be about the sufferings of Christ. I want to identify with that. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We like the power part. We like the resurrection. We like the glory hallelujah part. But we don't want to identify with him in the fellowship of his sufferings, even to the point of being made conformable to his death. But that's what part of the Christian life is. It used to be a mystery, and now he said, I'm making it known. I'm rejoicing in my sufferings for the body of Christ, that I may fill up that which is behind of the sufferings and afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. I am doing it for the sake of the church. And we need some selfless people who will deny themselves. That's what Jesus said. If you come after me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. If mystery is to be made manifest, there must be ministers to carry out the Great Commission and thus fulfill the word of God. This is the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of God that we're living in. And the apostle said, this has been given to me for you because I want to fulfill the word of God, the mystery. According to this dispensation, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Every time we carry out the Great Commission, it fulfills the word of God. And if mystery is to be made manifest, there must be a minister or ministers to carry out the Great Commission and thus fulfill the word of God. Jesus gives us the Great Commission, but we have to have ministers, and that doesn't mean a ordained clergy. That's talking about people, men and women, boys and girls who are saved, born again, redeemed from all over the world. Carry out the Great Commission. Spread the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it fulfills God's word. It's not going to just automatically happen. We have to fulfill God's word. And the reason and way that we can fulfill God's word is to be a minister of this new covenant to carry out the Great Commission. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. It's a mystery. It has been hid from ages and generations, decades and years. It has been hid, but now is made manifest to his saints. If mystery is to be made manifest, it is expedient that there are members to whom it can be revealed who can pass it on to others. In order for this mystery to be made manifest, there have to be members, or saints it's called here, that can receive the goodness of God. And when they receive the goodness of God, they pass it on to others. There have to be members. There have to be saints. This mystery, which was hid from times and generations, is now made manifest to his saints. We've seen things that people haven't seen before. We've felt things that people hadn't felt before. It's better felt than telt. And I'm telling you, we have experienced things that people have not experienced before. Many people, and Jesus said, many righteous people, kings, have desired to look into the things that you have looked into, to see those things and have not seen them, to hear those things and have not heard them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And this gospel has been made known to you. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If mystery is to be made manifest, God has to make known among the heathen the riches of the glory of the indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the mystery is. One of the greatest mysteries in the whole world and in God's Word, the Bible, is the fact that Christ would come to dwell in the heart and life of every born-again believer. How does he do it? He's at the Father's right hand in heaven. How in the world? We teach the children, Jesus, come live in my heart. How does he do it? Through the power and the person of the Holy Ghost. He comes and he dwells in our heart and life, and he lives there through the power of the Spirit. Jesus dwells in our heart by faith, and we know him and we love him, and he is the indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the greatest mystery. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If mystery is to be made manifest, maturity in the body of Christ must be accomplished and experienced. If we are going to make this ministry and mystery manifest, if mystery is going to be made manifest, there has to be a maturing of the body of Christ. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters, and it's high time that church folks grow up. You don't have to be inside of a building to be church folks. It's supposed to be Jesus folks, people who know the Lord. It's high time that we grow up. It's high time that preachers grow up. Quit acting like a wimpy child, running and taking their tail and running between their legs and running off somewhere else and thinking things are going to work out. It's time that we grow up. And it's time that we man up and woman up. It's time that we shape up. We got lost people that's dying and going to hell. We got people that's strung out on drugs and alcohol. We got people that's all wrapped up in the bed of fornication. We got people that's on dope. We got people that's on welfare. We got people that's strung out and not knowing which way they're going and who they are. It's time that we grow up and mature in the body of Christ. The Ephesians talks about it. This is why the ministry and the gifts and the apostle and prophet and preacher and teacher, evangelist, that's what it's all about. It's for the work of the ministry, the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the perfectness or completeness of Christ. And that's what we're striving for. We have to mature. This has to be experienced in these last days. Pentecost can't be something that's just talked about and dreamed about. It's got to be something that is experienced. And the scripture tells us here, we preach to every man. We warn every man. We teach every man that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. If mystery is to be made manifest, maturity in the body of Christ must be accomplished and experienced. It has to be not only accomplished in doctrine on paper, but it has to be experienced, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, that we be not carried away with all these sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that every wind of doctrine that comes along be blown about. God doesn't want us to live that way. Therefore, it is imperative that Christ is preached, whether it takes warning every man or teaching every man, in order to present every man perfect or complete in Christ. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, in order for mystery to be made manifest. It takes the mighty working of the power of God in and through the lives of believers to reach the world for Jesus and train disciples for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach. Go into all the world and preach. Go into all the world and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reach them. Make disciples of all ethnics. There's a conference coming up right now. A Zoom room. It's coming up right now. I need to attend it, but I dread it because they're going to talk about racism. They're going to talk about what the church should do. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought we catered food. We can't cater to the ungodly. We're going to start catering to the ungodly and bowing the knee before the ungodly. The Bible tells me that we have power over serpents and scorpions, and they're supposed to bow to us. Instead of us going out there like a bunch of wimps and law enforcement bowing down and before the ungodly, it's time that we stand up. The church should take, yes, we should include all races, all people. That's what Jesus said to do. Make disciples of all ethnics. Reach out to the gospel with all people. And William Seymour, you've heard me say it before, Azusa Street Revival, they said the bloodline washed away the color line. Well, that's exactly right. Of course it does. It takes away all this. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But you don't have to try to make it happen. When you're born again and when you know the Lord, red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. You don't have to mandate it. You cannot legislate this stuff, brothers and sisters. You cannot legislate it from headquarters. You cannot legislate it from conference. It has to be in the heart of a man and woman. And when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, He puts love in your heart. You have love for the black man. You have love for the white man. You have love for the brown man. You have love for all people. But that doesn't excuse trouble. It doesn't excuse ungodliness that's going on in our world. And we're not sent into the world to judge the world. Scripture says that let those in the church take care of the church, and those who are without, those on the outside, God will take care of them. God will take care of the heathen. God will take care of those out there on the street. And until He does, we have law enforcement, which should enforce the law, which should do what's right. We have a flag that we should honor, not burn it. Don't burn the flag. You cuckoo head, don't burn the flag. You got to honor the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God. And we're to honor God. We're to honor our country. We're to pray for those in authority over us. We cannot afford to dismantle and go against law enforcement. Maybe they need to let me talk in that Zoom room tomorrow, but I doubt if I'll get to say anything. They probably don't want to hear me, but it's time that somebody stood up and say what's right in the sight of God, and to have a well-balanced word from God to reach this generation for Jesus Christ. We stand up and honor the flag, and we kneel down to pray, not the opposite. And we need to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, the song says. Mystery is made manifest. We get so frustrated. We say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just one of God's mysterious ways. That sickness, that disease, that's the way that God works in mysterious ways. No, it's not. God made Himself known. He made Himself known to us. He said, look, if you want to be healed, put your faith and trust in me. Let me take care of it. You trust me with the prayer of faith and let God take care of the rest. And if you want to be saved, it's a simple prayer of faith. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He forgives you of your sins. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He leaves it up to you to start making the right choices, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Father, thank you for this opportunity to present this word to your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our nation. Help us, Lord. The mystery of God is now made manifest. And we can see what you're all about. We know what you're doing. We may not know everything you're doing, but we know enough to get us from earth to glory. I pray that we'd be faithful. Many people would be born again and saved today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Bible message entitled Mystery Made Manifest from Colossians chapter 1. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.